Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful time and a safe time and enjoy these ultra-high-quality sounding episodes of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. And we'll see you next week for even more.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield, made the modern way with Accuray. Smoother, cooler, best for you. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Chester!
Good evening, Miss Kitty.
Well, you were going straight to the bar without even saying hello.
Well, I figured you was kindly busy.
I'm busy telling Andy here about Dodge. Andy, this is Chester Proudfoot. He's one of the people you ought to know. This is Andy Hill, Chester.
Pleased to meet you, Chester.
Well, sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
Chester works for Marshal Dillon, Andy.
Well, that ought to be a good job.
Oh, it's a fine job, if you like long hours and poor pay.
He spends quite a few of those long hours sitting around the depot waiting for the Santa Fe to come in, Andy.
Well, that's just so Mr. Dillon will know where I'm at if he wants me for anything, Miss Kitty.
Oh, sure.
Your name, Kitty?
I'm busy, mister.
They told me your name. Now I'm going to buy you a drink. Come on over to the bar.
Back to your hogs, mister. You're spoiling the air.
I'll have no talk from a woman of your kind.
All right, you get out of here, mister. Get out.
You putting me out? You ain't even armed.
Well, I'll find me a gun quick enough.
Hey, mister. How about me? I'm armed.
You're too young to be wearing a gun. Take it off.
You do it. You take it off.
I sure will.
From there.
You want to die, don't you?
No. I don't want anybody to die. Now, you get out of here.
I'm going to put a bullet in you.
You can't do it, mister. Don't try.
I'll show you.
I told him he couldn't do it.
You killed him, Andy.
He was looking for a fight.
I don't even know who he is. I never seen him before.
Well, there's Matt.
Who?
Marshal Dillon, Andy.
Oh.
Did you kill this man?
I did it.
It was self-defense, Matt. Andy had to shoot him.
That's the truth, Mr. Dillon. That man was treating Miss Kitty awful bad, and I didn't have no gun, and Andy stood up to him.
Get some help and carry him out of here, Chester.
Yes, sir. A couple of you men give me a hand here.
Kitty, let's step over here.
Yeah.
You and Andy, is it?
Andy Hill, Marshal.
You should have seen it, Matt. That man had his gun almost out before Andy even started to draw.
So you're pretty fast, huh, Andy?
I'm alive.
Where are you from?
I told you my name. It don't matter where I'm from.
What are you doing in Dodge?
Marshal, I come here looking for a job, an honest job.
He told me the same thing, Matt. I believe him.
Why would I be lying?
Well, the way Kitty described it, you're mighty handy with a gun for a man who's looking for an honest job.
All right, I'll move on. I wouldn't have a chance here with you against me.
Matt.
Don't worry about it, Miss Kitty. I'll make out someplace else.
Wait a minute, Andy.
Yeah?
Go over to the stage office. That's for Jim Buck.
What for?
He's a driver. He's looking for a man to ride shotgun. Tell him I sent you.
Thanks, Marshal. I'll go over right away. So long.
You see, Matt? He did mean it.
Yeah, he wants a job, all right. But he's hiding something, Kitty. When a man hides something, it's usually bad.
But I got a feeling about him, Matt. I think he's all right.
And I hope so, Kitty. Won't be so good if I've recommended an outlaw to protect the stage.
Put a smile in your smoking. It's as easy as ABC. Because Chesterfields made with Accuray are A,
always milder,
B,
better tasting,
C,
cooler smoking.
Yes, a Chesterfield is always milder.
That's because Accuray controls your Chesterfield in the making, gives it a more even distribution of fine tobaccos that burn more evenly, smoke much milder.
A Chesterfield is better tasting.
That's because an Accuray Chesterfield draws more easily, lets you enjoy all the wonderful flavor.
And a Chesterfield is cooler smoking.
14% more perfectly packed than cigarettes made without Accuray. You enjoy cooler smoking pleasure. No hot spots. No hard draw.
So the next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember,
an Accuray Chesterfield is A, always milder. B, better tasting. C, cooler smoking.
Put a smile in your smoking. Just give them a try. Chesterfield's best for you. They satisfy.
I didn't see Andy again that night, but I ran into Jim Buck, and he told me that he'd hired him, and that they were leaving for Hayes City the next morning. It was 2 days before they were due back, before I'd find out if I'd made a mistake or not. And I waited. In the evening they were due, I was over at the stage office. Of course, the stage was late, over an hour late, but it finally came. And Andy was up on the box next to Jim. They pulled up, and Jim jumped down and ran over to me.
Marshal, you arrest him.
Arrest who?
Andy Hill, that's who. If I hadn't heard how good he is with a gun, I'd have taken him myself. I'd have shot him dead.
Now, wait a minute, Jim. What's the trouble?
He's mad at me, Marshal.
Mad at you? You ought to be tarred and feathered.
Why don't one of you tell me what this is all about?
We was held up, Marshal. Held up by heaven, and this so-called shotgun man sat there like an owl on a rafter. Sat there and did nothing.
Is that true, Andy?
Why kill a man for nothing, Marshal?
For nothing?
The treasure box was empty and we carried no passengers this trip. He didn't get a thing.
You didn't know that box was empty till I told you afterwards.
I knew it before we left Hayes City, Jim. I figured I ought to know what I was guarding, so I found out.
Sure. And for all I know, you was in cahoots with that bandit. Maybe you and him were partners.
There's no proof of that, Jim.
Well, I ain't hiring a man who won't fight. You're fired, Andy. I never want to see you again.
I'm sorry, Marshal. I guess I've disappointed you.
Because you didn't want to kill a man for nothing?
That's right.
There wasn't any other reason, was there, Andy?
You think I was in on it, too?
I didn't say that.
Good night, Marshal.
Andy. Andy! Yeah, maybe I did make a mistake. I wasn't sure about Andy that night, but the next few days changed my mind again. He went all over town looking for a job. He tried everybody and everything. but nothing came of it. And finally, I heard that he'd got discouraged and quit trying. I had a long talk with Jim Buck, and at the end, he said he was sorry he'd lost his temper, but he still wouldn't rehire Andy. And that was that. Until one night about a week later, Doc and I were having a beer over at the Texas Trail.
What I've seen of him, Matt, Andy's got a lot of pride.
Maybe too much pride, Doc.
No, he's young. He's feeling his blood. Oh, my, we were all like that once.
Now, there's more to it than that.
Well, what?
I don't know, Doc. Andy doesn't talk much, especially to me.
Well, maybe he doesn't trust the law.
Well, most people around here don't.
Yep.
Get away from Andy.
Oh. Now what?
That's Andy. He's drunk.
Who's that following him? Who is that man?
I'm trying to think, Doc. I've seen his face. Maybe it was his picture.
I said I don't want to drink with you.
No drink.
Oh, there's going to be a fight, man.
Yeah, stick around, Doc. We may need you.
Take it any way you like.
Andy, I could kill you. You know, you're drunk.
Try it.
Hold it, Andy.
Stay out of this, Marshal.
He's right. You're too drunk to fight.
Am I? Watch me.
No.
Hey. What'd you do that for, Marshal?
To keep you from killing him, Carrick.
Know my name?
I heard Andy say it, but I don't want to hear it again. And I don't want to see you again. You find your horse and you ride him out of town, Carrick, and you keep on riding him. Now you get moving while you got a chance. Now, Chester.
You should have arrested him, Mr. Dillon. He started the whole trouble.
Yeah, maybe. But right now, get Andy's gun and take him to jail. He can sleep it off there.
That's right, I will. Well, you didn't need me after all, man.
Doc, that's the first time I ever turned an outlaw loose.
What's that?
Carrick. I saw his picture the other day on some new circulars. The law in Oklahoma Territory would like to have him back.
Well, then why didn't you arrest him?
Andy's wanted with him. There's no picture, but I remember the description now. Carrick for murder, Andy for robbery. They were partners.
You let a murderer go?
No, not exactly, Doc. Carrick needs Andy for a partner. That's why he came here. And that's why he'll come back.
If he comes back, you're going to have two outlaws to deal with.
Yeah, maybe. But it's Andy who's going to have to decide that. He's still got a choice to make, Doc. All I'm doing is giving him the chance to make it.
Why should you risk facing a pack of trouble to help a man you hardly know, Matt?
Yeah, a man who hardly knew me went out of his way once, Doc. Maybe I'm kind of paying him back.
Oh. Well, I still say you must have a lot of faith in him.
No, not a lot, Doc. Just enough to take a gamble. The next morning, it looked like a bad gamble. Andy came out of his cell, sullen and angry. And when I gave him his gun back, he took it and left without a word. Later, Chester reported that he'd ridden out of town. And it was several days before I heard of him again.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Andy Hill's back in town.
Oh?
Jim Buck told me.
Well, how does Jim Buck know?
He's standing out there on the boardwalk talking to him. I went up and said hello to him, and you know what Jim told me? He's gone and hired Andy to ride shotgun for him again.
He has?
Yes, he has. He was kindly laughing about it. He said Andy spent most of the morning arguing him into it. Said anybody who could talk that good and that long deserved a job. I guess he ain't mad at Andy no more, huh?
Chester, Jim's bringing a shipment of gold back from Hayes City next trip.
You're thinking maybe Andy knows about it, him and Carrick Bull.
Yeah, maybe.
What's that?
It's a circular from Oklahoma with Carrick's picture on it and Andy's description.
Oh,
What are you going to do with it?
I'll be back directly. Hello, Andy.
What do you want, Marshal?
Where's Jim Buck?
He went over to the stage office.
I hear you're riding shotgun for him again.
Any objections, Marshal?
Andy, if I had everything on my mind the way you have, I don't think I'd be friendly with the law either.
What do you mean by that?
Here, take a look at this. Now, wait a minute, Andy. I didn't come to arrest you, so don't make me kill you.
What?
I wanted you to see that circular. I didn't think you and Carrick knew it was out.
I don't understand you, Marshal.
It was Carrick who held up the stage last time when you were riding shotgun. Wasn't it?
It had nothing to do with me. I didn't know he was in the country.
But you didn't shoot because you didn't want to kill a man for nothing, especially a former partner, huh?
Okay, Marshal.
I think your partner's again, Andy. I think you got this one planned.
You won't take me alive, Marshal.
I told you I didn't come here to arrest you.
Why not?
Because I think a man who wants it deserves a chance, Andy. You haven't had yours. Not yet. Well, maybe I'm wrong giving it to you, but I'm going to do it.
What do you mean?
The stage goes to Hayes tomorrow. It'll be back Thursday. I'm going to be waiting for it, Andy. Waiting real hard.
Start smoking with a smile with Chesterfield. Smoother, cooler, milder, Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Chesterfield's best for you. They satisfy.
Yes, put a smile in your smoking. It's as easy as ABC. Because Chesterfields made with Accuray are A,
always milder,
B,
better tasting,
C,
cooler smoking.
Yes, a Chesterfield is always milder.
That's because Accuray controls your Chesterfield in the making, gives it a more even distribution of fine tobaccos that burn more evenly, smoke much milder.
A Chesterfield is better tasting.
That's because an Accuray Chesterfield draws more easily, lets you enjoy all the wonderful flavor.
And a Chesterfield is cooler smoking.
14% more perfectly packed than cigarettes made without Accuray. You enjoy cooler smoking pleasure. No hot spots. No hard draw.
So the next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember,
an Accuray Chesterfield is A, always milder. B, better tasting. C, cooler smoking.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Chesterfield's best for you. They satisfy.
Should have been here an hour ago, Mr. Dillon. It's already dark.
That's often late, Chester.
Why does it have to be late this time?
Are you worried?
Yes, sir. And so are you.
Well, it's like putting your whole stake on one turn of the card.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
It made it. The stage made it.
Yeah, the stage did, Chester. But there's no shotgun messenger.
Oh, my golly, you're right. Where's Andy?
Oh! Oh!
Where's Andy, Jim?
I don't know where he is. I ain't seen him since we got to Hayes.
You mean he quit, Jim?
I'd call it that.
Well, did he tell you he was quitting?
He told me nothing. He just disappeared. Serves me right for hiring him again. I got work to do.
Yeah, I guess he figured he'd get as far as Hayes without you after him, and then him and Carrick could run from there. What are you looking at?
That rider coming up the street, Chester.
leading that pack horse?
It's not a pack horse. There's a body tied across the saddle, and that's Andy leading it.
By golly, you're right. Now what's he gone and done?
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Andy.
That's Carrick I got there, Marshal.
You kill him?
I killed him. No witnesses. No way to prove who drew first.
Jim Buck told me you ran off up in Hayes City.
Jim might have got shot if I hadn't.
Oh?
Carrick was going to hold up the stage again, Marshal, and I decided not to let him do it. But I figured if I tried to fight him while I was sitting up there next to Jim, it'd go bad.
So you rode back to meet Carrick alone, huh?
Yeah. I left the night we got to Hayes. I found him and told him I was through for good. He got scared and went for his gun. But, like I say, I can't prove it was self-defense. Maybe I shouldn't have come back. Nobody's going to believe an outlaw.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Give Andy a hand with Carrick's body. I got some work to do.
Where are you going?
I'm going to write to the law in Oklahoma Territory. I'm going to let them know they can withdraw that wanted circular on Carrick.
But what about Andy and that robbery charge?
After I tell him how he brought in Carrick and how hard he's trying to go straight, I think they won't be too hard on him.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you.
You know, on the frontier, there were all kinds. Buffalo hunters, trail drivers, spoilers, saddle bums. And there were lawmen, good and bad. Well, our story next week concerns a lawman's death. Until then, good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Harry Bartell, Barney Phillips, and Lawrence Dobkin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M. Superior taste and filter. Superior taste from richer tobaccos. Tastier, light and mild. Superior filter. It's white, pure white. Added to L&M tobaccos, this miracle tip actually improves your enjoyment. Look for the big red letters. Smoke L&M, America's best.
L&M's got everything. Get L&M today.
Be sure and listen to another transcribed story of the Old West on Gunsmoke next week at this same time. Thank you.
boy is offering $10,000 for your property. Whether you sell it or not, I'm here to see that he doesn't get robbed.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Over here, hey boy.
Oh, there you are, sir. My, you look very comfortable.
Yes, I was very comfortable, but I really didn't think it would last too long. What do you want, hey boy?
A gentleman wants to see you.
Mm-hmm. About a job?
Maybe so.
Hey boy, I'm not looking for a job today. I'm tired. See if you can get rid of him.
Oh, too late.
Why?
Ma'am, follow me over here, see?
Oh, no.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Paladin.
Yes?
You don't remember me, do you, sir?
No, I'm afraid not.
It's been quite a few years, but I remember you. My name's F. Milton Gardner.
F. Milton Gardner?
Yes, sir.
Roger Gardner's son?
That's right.
Well, you've grown 2 feet since I saw you last. Sit down, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
You don't need me anymore, Mr. Paladin?
No, thank you. That'll be all, hey boy.
Yes, sir.
Well, F., what brings you into San Francisco?
I'm looking for advice, Mr. Paladin. And my father always said you were the man to come to if I ever needed help.
Yes, I was sorry to learn your father had died, F. What have you been doing since?
I finished school. I promised him I'd do that, but... Well, I'm afraid I haven't accomplished too much since then.
Well, sometimes it takes a while to find the right niche.
You see, father left me quite a sum of money, and I've tried to follow in his footsteps, but I haven't been too successful. I've invested in a number of schemes, expecting to make a profit.
But it's not easy, is it?
No, sir. Mr. Paladin, I need your advice in what could be a final investment.
What is it, F?
Well, I've got a newspaper clipping here. Read this, sir.
For sale cheap. Oil-producing property. Must sell. Chance to make a fortune.
Yeah.
Contact Claude Spicer. Reward, California. Where's that?
It's in the Joaquin Valley. There have been a lot of oil discoveries there.
Well, now, F, I don't know much about the oil business.
But maybe you could see that I don't get swindled again. If you could go with me to Reward and things work out as I hope they will, I'll give you a share. A royalty, I believe they call it. Could be worth a fortune.
Sounds tempting.
Then you'll do it?
Only on certain conditions.
Anything you say.
That you'll take my advice, even if I tell you not to buy the land.
Oh, I'll leave the negotiations entirely up to you.
And you must not hand out any royalties, even to me. If this turns out as well as you expect it to, I'll send you a bill. Fair enough?
Fair enough, Mr. Paladin.
From San Francisco, F. Milton Gardner and I journeyed south aboard the schooner Allie May. Along the coast, we stopped at Santa Cruz, Monterey, and finally San Luis Obispo. There, we met a little man by the name of Cobb Watson. He was taking a wagon load of pipe into Reward and said that we could ride along. We traveled in silence most of the way and eventually passed through a steaming valley that showed a slimy surface which looked like black mud to me, but Cobb assured us it was surface evidence of oil. Later, we pulled up on the main street of Reward.
Well, this is it. End of the line.
Thanks very much, Mr. Watson.
Anytime, sonny.
Yes. Thank you, Cobb.
I suppose you'll be looking for some oil property to lease. Don't nobody come to Reward for nothing else.
The fact is, we've come to see about some land that's for sale.
For sale, huh?
Yeah.
Well, who are you dealing with?
His name is Spicer.
Claude Spicer?
Yeah. You know him?
Sure, I know him. Everybody does. There he sits over there.
Oh, where?
See them two fellas sitting over there in front of the general store?
Yeah.
Well, the big fat one whittling on the stick, that's Claude Spicer. The fellow with him is Doc Belden. They're kind of a corporation.
How's that?
Well, Doc Belden is an old retired horse doctor. Claude's on his last legs, and Doc keeps him alive a day at a time.
What's the matter with him?
Well, too much fat, if you ask me. But that don't keep him from being clever as a fox. You just watch your step with Claude Spicer.
Well, thanks for the advice.
Well, I got to get these pipes delivered. Good luck to you.
You've been very helpful, Claude.
Oh, say, if you should find some good oil land, look me up. I'm an expert at hand drilling. Well, come on there. Hurry up. Come on. That's so long.
Watch our step, huh?
Yeah. Well, let's go find out why. Come on. Hello.
Hello?
We're here to talk to Mr. Spicer.
I'm Doc Belden. This is Claude Spicer.
So we were told.
Somebody say my name, Doc.
Easy, Claude. There's a couple of strangers around here to your left.
Well, you men come around front so I can see you. That's better.
We're from San Francisco, Mr. Spicer.
Oh, seen the ad, did you?
Yes, sir. I'm F. Milton Gardner, and this is Mr. Paladin. We've come to buy your land.
Good, good.
Mr. Spicer, is there somewhere we could go and talk over this business?
Oh, right here is good. It's good enough. Doc, it's Murphy in town today.
Yeah, I seen him hanging around the blacksmith.
Good. Don't let him get away. Truth is, Mr. What's your name?
Paladin.
That's it. Truth is, I think you're too late. Got another party looking at it.
Hey, now take it easy, Claude.
Another party, so if you want it that quick, you get down to the livery stable and ask for Spicer's horses.
Where's the property?
Oh, stable boy will tell you.
Yeah. Well, all right, if that's the way you do business. Come on, F.
No. You go, Mr. Paladin. I don't want to influence your decision in any way. I'll go check into the hotel.
All right.
I'll talk to you when you get back.
I hope you brought your money, Paladin.
That's the boy who is buying. I'm here to see that he gets a fair deal.
Oh, good, good.
Well, I'll let you know how good it is after I see the property. Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Well, Claude, what do you think?
Get Murphy, Doc. Get Murphy.
Oh, you ain't gonna need him for these two.
Get him, I said. Tell him to get right out to the well and do the usual. I'm going over to the hotel and talk to that boy.
Why?
Oh, he's the one that's doing the buying. Didn't you hear him? City dudes. Suckers.
There's frost on the pumpkin and Halloween is here again. Yes, come Monday night, your doorbell will be a-buzzin' with trick-or-treaters. So now, right now, why not stock up on plenty of Sylvania Blue Dot flashbulbs so that on the night of Halloween, you can capture all the fun, all the color, all the excitement. But remember, only with flash can you get all the clear, sharp details. What's more, flashbulbs work with any film, any time, day or night, anywhere, with any camera. So hurry! Now's the time to ask for Sylvania Blue Dot flashbulbs, the world's largest selling brand. And when you do, also ask for Sylvania's 32-page free flash guidebook. This year, when the kids start coming to your door, don't make the mistake of saying, "Gee, I wish I had some bulbs so I could take pictures of them." Instead, make sure you have plenty of Sylvania Blue Dot flashbulbs ready and waiting, right along with the candy, nuts, and pennies. That's Sylvania Blue Dot flashbulbs.
At the livery stable, I thought I detected an expression of amusement from the stable hand as he saddled Mr. Spicer's horse. Following his instructions, I found the property in a desolate, abandoned area, completely away from the choice drilling sites pointed out by Cobb Watson when we rode into Reward. And over a forbidding-looking hole in the ground perched a dilapidated drilling platform with a sign proudly proclaiming this as Spicer's number one. I dismounted and proceeded to take a closer look. What? Oh, no, you don't. Had enough? Answer me or I'll shoot again.
You have to stay away from that well, you are. I'm buying the land for myself.
Maybe not. Come down here and talk this over. Or had you rather shoot it out?
Oh, now, lad, be a sport. You're supposed to run.
Throw down your rifle and walk towards me.
He's not playing fair, you are.
You do it.
All right, all right. Here it is.
Now walk.
Well, I had to say, it is an unfair advantage you've taken.
Unfair? You started shooting at me.
You're supposed to run tail when I shoot. All the others did.
The others?
I ain't supposed to tell, but you got me dead to rights. I might as well tell you the whole story. Murphy's me name. What's yours?
Paladin.
Glad to meet the likes of you, Paladin. You sure know how to handle a gun.
Start talking, Murphy.
Well, Spicer pays me to come out here and shoot at them what's come to buy the property. I'm to keep them from getting a good look at this dry hole. When I hollers that I want the land for myself, it makes them greedy.
I see. Then they rush back to Spicer to buy the land, is that it?
That way he gets their first money, the down payment. You know, lad, you're the first one to shoot back. I like you for that. Here, let me show you something. Come here.
What is it?
Look in the hole. See the aisle?
Yeah. I saw that before you started shooting at me.
That is the teaser. Now look closer. You see that pipe?
Yeah.
There's a plug in the end of it. Kind of hard to see for the oil. When we pull that plug, there's lots more oil.
Well, this is a dry hole. How does he manage that?
By storing 1,000 barrels of oil on yonder hill. He just pipes it over to this spot.
Ah, I see.
Hey, did you pull that plug in the pipe?
No.
And it's busted. Look at the oil oozing out of there.
Yeah.
See, you don't suppose there's any chance? Nah, it couldn't be, not out here. Old Spicer must be getting desperate. Yeah, it is another of his tricks, you can be sure of that.
Maybe. Murphy, I think I'd better get back to town. I remembered Cobb Watson said he knew how to use a hand drill. I needed him now. And finding him was a fairly simple matter. He agreed to go out with me to inspect Spicer's number one. And when he saw what was coming out of the ground, he became very excited and nervously paced the area, scanning the horizon for signs known only to himself. Occasionally, he would stoop and sift handfuls of dirt through his fingers. Finally, he took off his hat and filled it to the brim with the black substance that oozed from the hole.
It could be good. This is liquid asphaltum. The ground shows sulfur remnants. We might even hit lubrication crude if we drill deep enough.
Cobb, if you owned this land, would you drill on it?
I would, and if I didn't own it, I'd try to buy it.
Well, if I get this land, will you boss the drilling job?
Well, I ain't much on bossing, but I can drill that hole deeper than any man in these parts. I'll do it for you.
Good.
Think you can get title to the land?
Oh, that'll be the easiest thing we'll have to do.
Let me get this straight, Paladin. You want this boy to buy the land?
That's right.
Here's a draft on my bank in San Francisco for $10,000, Mr. Spicer.
It's a lot of money, boy.
What are you stalling for, Claude? Take it.
No, hold on, Doc. Paladin, the boy tells me you're a gunfighter.
Only when I have to be.
What about old Murphy? You run into him out there?
Yes, it did.
Murphy, he must have thought a tornado hit him. You didn't kill him.
No, he's all right.
Good.
What about it, Mr. Spicer? You selling?
Of course he's selling.
No, hold on. I ain't so sure I'm going to sell this boy. I like him.
Claude.
But he's offering $10,000, Mr. Spicer.
I know. But I wouldn't want to see him robbed. Is there any chance you're thinking of swindling this boy, Paladin?
He's my friend, Mr. Spicer.
You can't ever be sure, boy.
Look, Spicer, you said the property was for sale. We've come all the way from San Francisco to buy it.
All right. I'll take the check. But tell me something. What makes you think it's such a good buy, huh?
Like you said, the well is already producing.
Producing? Oh, wait. Sure. That's right, it is. Why, you know, I'll bet you could get a 1,000 barrels out there your first day.
Lucy, if anyone phones me tonight, I'm not home.
Oh, dear, all week you've been coming home like this, cross and tired.
If you'd had my nagging backache with restless, sleepless nights, you'd feel worn out, too.
But why just complain of backache? Do something.
What?
Try Doane's pills.
Right. Doane's pills are an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's pills today. To save money, buy Doane's big economy size.
For 6 weeks, F and I helped Cobb Watson construct a drilling rig. And every morning, Claude Spicer and Doc Belden would drive out on the buckboard to watch us work, and they'd stay all day, with Spicer sitting on a pile of blankets in the wagon bed. Occasionally, he'd break into uncontrolled laughter, and Doc would drive him off a ways to settle him down. Afterwards, they'd come back and take up their vigil once again. Finally, the day came. I was leading the horse, pulling the crosspiece on the drill, while Cobb and F handled the drill pipe at the hole. Come on, boy, come on. Come on, keep moving.
Paladin, wait!
Who now? What's the matter?
Come here.
What's going on?
Listen.
What does it mean, Mr. Watson?
It means we've hit it, boy. Paladin, get that horse on the hitch and hurry. I gotta get these tools loose if it ain't too late.
All right. Easy, boy. Easy now. It's all right. Come on.
Hurry up, Paladin. We'll have to leave the tools. She's gonna blow up. Hurry. Come on, run.
Come on, boy. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Wait now. This will be fair enough.
I will.
Now watch. Look at that, Paladin. Prettiest one I ever seen.
Congratulations, boy. You finally did it. Brought in my well.
Your well? Aren't you a little mistaken?
Now, Claude, don't get yourself all worked up.
Oh, come on now. Don't spoil my fun, Doc. I've been waiting a long time for this. I want to thank you, Paladin. I want to thank you. Doc, help me. Give me a hand.
Paladin, quick. Grab him.
Yeah, I've got him. Get some water, F.
Yes, sir. No. Never mind, boy. Water won't help now.
Well, my oil.
Suckers! Ever last one of you!
Gee, that's a shame, Mr. Paladin.
I knowed this was going to happen. Tried to tell him, he just wouldn't listen to me.
Doc, what did Mr. Spicer mean when he said it was his oil?
Oh, this was Claude's last joke.
Joke?
Sure. Son, you know that bank draft you give him?
Yeah.
Well, it's down in my safe. He gave it to me to keep. He never banked it. He didn't want to cheat you none. And that title he gave you, that was a fake.
A fake?
You mean the boy doesn't own this land?
No, it was his last big joke. Claude was like that, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't want to cheat the boy. He liked him. Old Claude was just having fun.
Mr. Paladin, what are we going to do?
I don't know, F. Looks like old Claude had the last laugh on both of us. All we can do now is go back to San Francisco and find you a new advisor.
Today, Mr. Paladin.
Yes, I know, Miss Wong. I foolishly left my windows open during that gale we had this morning.
Gale?
Wind, Miss Wong.
Lisa, wind, never gale in San Francisco.
You're quite right, Miss Wong. Yeah. Forgive me, I'd forgotten.
You forgive.
Come in.
Come in.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, I have a letter for you from a funny place named Reward.
Reward? It's been 6 months since I was there. Let me see. It's from F. Milton Gardner.
F. who?
F. Milton Gardner, Miss Wong. You remember my telling you about him?
Oh, yes, sir. Mr. Wong, remember now.
Well, what's this?
What's this?
Look like check money, Mr. Paladin.
It is. A check for $5,000.
Oh, my. What does the letter say?
Let's see. And when Doc Belden found Mr. Spicer's last will and testament, he sent for me. And what do you think? Mr. Spicer had left all that property to me, lock, stock, and barrels.
Oh, very nice.
Why he do that, Mr. Paladin?
Well, he goes on to say Mr. Spicer did it because F provided him with the biggest laugh of his life. That's too bad.
Oh, quite too bad if a man laugh.
Well, Miss Wong, I've seen a lot of men die. But that was the first time I'd ever seen a man die laughing. And it was that last laugh that killed him.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Tom Hanley and Jack Moyles. Featured in the cast were Bill Idelson, Ralph Moody, Frank Cady, Jack Moyles, and Marvin Miller. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.